Welcome to the northern side of the radio. I'm Amy.
I'm Emily, and this is the Northern Odysseans podcast.
In this week's episode, we'll be reviewing Cover of Darkness and The Undeniable Truth.
But first, our trivia segment, Who is Eugenius?
Welcome to another installment of Who is Eugenius, where I, Amy, try to stump my sister, Emily, who is a Eugenius, in some Odyssey trivia, and I've tried to be very creative with certain things. So this week we are going to be doing one that we've done before, where I tell Emily an album number. She has to give me the name, the year it was released, all the episodes, and what, like, are the episode, what do you call them? Like,
numbers.
Yeah. Okay. So our first one, album number 36. What's it called?
Danger Signals.
Okay. What's the air date?
This one came out in 2001.
Yep, that's correct. Okay, and list the episodes in the album in order.
Okay, this one might be a little bit more difficult.
Yes! But let's see. Okay. I'm okay with that.
No, actually, I think I might. Okay, so it's the W.E.
Yep.
Green Eyes and Yellow Tulips.
Yep.
Snow Day.
Am I telling you if you don't have it in the right order?
Do I not?
No.
I think there was a different order on the CDs when we were kids, though.
Yes,
I think there is. I swear Snow Day
no,
was...
No, and I'm pretty sure it is,
...was too. After Green Eyes and Yellow Tulips on the CD.
Okay. And then, so am I telling you if you're right or... Because it's not in the right order. You're missing...
Well, but I'm still naming...
Okay, just name them. Just name them. So, Snow Day, yes.
The Triangle Parts 1 and 2.
Yep.
Broken Window.
Yep.
Chains Parts 1 and 2.
Yep.
Break a Leg.
Yep.
15 Minutes.
Yep.
Welcoming Wooten.
Yep.
And Breaking Point.
That is correct.
Yeah, I think there was a slightly different CD
the
order.
The Triangle is after Green Eyes and Yellow Tulips and before Snow Day.
See,
but they moved it for the CD purposes so
yeah,
that you didn't,
so that
have,
you didn't yeah. have to put a two-parter on two separate CDs.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I don't blame them for that. Okay, so what is the episode numbers? What's the span of them?
This is not... it's somewhere in the 400s. I know that.
What do you think?
456 to 468.
Is that your final guess?
Yeah, it's just a guess. I have no idea.
Nope. The numbers are... Sorry, I'm doing two things at once here. 462 to 473.
Well, at least I caught some of the range there, but...
Yeah, you got close, but not close enough.
Yeah.
All right. So our next album is album number 2. So what's the name?
It's actually had 3 names, but the current name is The Wildest Summer Ever.
What are the other 2 names?
Grins, Grabbers, and Great Getaways.
Okay.
Was the original cassette set name.
Yeah.
And then Stormy Weather was the gold audio series name.
I think we basically grew up with Stormy Weather.
Yeah, they renamed it a while ago for some reason.
All right, so what year, what was the air date?
This one would have come out in 88.
Yep, that's correct, 1988. Okay, and what?
I will probably get some of the order wrong.
That's fine. I'm not counting order anymore, just as long as you get it.
Family Vacation Parts 1 and 2.
Yes.
The Day Independence Came.
Yep.
Stormy Weather.
Yep.
VBS Blues.
Yep.
Kids Radio.
Yep.
Camp What a Nut, parts 1 and 2.
Yes.
The Case of the Secret Room, parts 1 and 2.
Yep.
Return to the Bible Room.
Yep.
And then The Last Great Adventure of the Summer.
Actually, you got those in order.
Yes, I did.
Good job. Okay, and what is the episode numbers?
Oh, I might actually get pretty close on this one. So 31.
Okay.
To 43.
You are so close. It's actually 31 to 41.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's what it said.
Can you show me? Because I'm pretty sure they probably are a little bit out of order by episode number.
Okay. I had to
just... Because that's 10 episodes. That's 10 numbers, not 12.
Okay. I probably did write it wrong because I was trying to do it as... I was trying to write it down so that I could look for the next one so there wasn't a lot of dead air. Okay. 31... to 42. The Last Great Adventure of the Summer is number 42.
Okay, so I overshot by a little tiny... I added an extra
number. And I undershot.
I added an extra number.
That's totally fine. Okay, give me a second while I find the next one. You're actually doing really well. I don't know why I'm so shocked. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Last album. Album number 20.
We already did this one.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
No, we didn't.
Pretty sure we did.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
I have them all written down, the ones that we've done. I have to.
No, we totally did this one.
No, you didn't.
Yes, we did. No. Because I remember mentioning that this one is the last episode that Al Smith recorded on it. We totally did this one already.
No, I'm literally looking through them. And I did not have it written down.
Then you didn't write it down, but we totally did this one already.
Fine. Okay, I'll search for one. Give me a second.
Seriously, it's...
I know, I'm pretty sure we hadn't done that one yet.
Listen back to the podcast. I am very positive we did this one already.
Okay, we'll do this one instead. Okay, so album number 42.
Okay. It's called No Way Out.
Yep.
And this one, I think,
what's the air date?
2004.
Yep. Okay, and what's the episodes?
Living in the Gray, 1 and 2.
Yep.
Stubborn Streaks.
Yep.
Called On in Class.
Yep.
The Girl in the Sink.
Yep.
Bernard and Saul.
Yep.
Eggshells.
Uh-huh.
Nothing But the Half-Truth.
Yep.
Split Ends.
Yep.
Something's Got to Change.
Yep.
No Way Out, No Way In.
Yep. And what's the episode numbers?
I don't know.
What's the whole point of this?
It's in the 500s. I know that.
Okay.
I don't know. 530 to 542. I don't know.
You're close. It's 535 to 547.
Okay.
Good job. So I would say you got passing grade.
Yeah, and I swear we've done Journey of Choices
before. I'm pretty
sure
we have not. So it,
listeners,
if you
know we did that one before like I do, email us.
Yes, please let me know, because I have everything written down and I'm pretty sure we did not do it.
I'm pretty sure we did.
Okay. So if you guys can help us out here, please let me know. Email us at northernaudissians, odyssians@gmail.com, and please let me know. And if you have any other like creative ideas or trivia questions, please email those to us as well, because at some point we're going to be running out of these. But I think we've decided that next year, like next season, so January 2023, Emily will be testing me on my Odyssey trivia. So
yeah,
if you want to help her out with that, I'm probably a little bit easier to stump because I'm not a Eugenius.
But I don't have the email password though.
Oh, I'll let you know about that.
Okay.
So, yeah, so be prepared for that. So that's January 2023, season 2 of Northern Odysseans podcast. Emily will be testing me and my knowledge. We got to figure out what we're going to do for season three. But I have a couple ideas. Okay.
You can test one of our siblings.
I was thinking that. Okay. Let's move on to our episode review of A Cover of Darkness. Okay. Episode review of Cover of Darkness. So, we last left off in A Time for Action, part two, where Eugene finds his father. Finally.
And so we basically pick up right where that leaves off.
Yes. So you kind of hear Eugene's response to that and how he's just flabbergasted. Such a fun word to say, flabbergasted. Yeah. That he finally found him and he has him back.
And they basically just try to
figure out.
Well, because, like, it's like, I thought you were dead. You're supposed to be dead.
Well, that's something to say.
And he's like, no, I was never on the train. And then.
Well, yeah, like, Leonard basically finds out how Eugene is not dead.
And but he also says that Gobier told him Eugene was dead.
Right.
Which makes Eugene go, oh, I gotta figure this out.
Yeah. So, then all of a sudden Eugene's like, I gotta introduce you to everybody. No,
first Mr. Whitaker comes up.
Okay. So, Whit comes up. Leonard gets introduced to Whit, which is, I kind of feel like Leonard's kind of cordial to him, like, very, like, I don't know. Because well, then there's a part in a future episode where it's just like, okay.
Well talk yes, about that. But I think it's also he's kind of skittish.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Because then when Eugene's like, I gotta introduce you to everybody, he's like, peace out, bye, I'll see you later.
And then in the next scene, he talks to Gobier.
Yes, and then he kind of gets the backstory so that I referred to in last episode.
So basically the backstory is that when Gobier was with the Wall of Tribe, which we find out is led by Dalton Kern.
Yep, so we're kind of finding more about everything.
Because we didn't know his name before.
Now we do.
And Eugene's like, oh yeah, I met him when I was a boy. He was an archaeologist friend of my parents.
Yep.
And he was the one that came to the village and promised everybody riches.
Yep.
And so he made Gobier his second in command.
Yes.
And one day he has a dreadful assignment for him.
He has to meet the train and bring Leonard's son to him.
He doesn't know Eugene's name at that point.
Nope, just his son.
And so he's like, what are you gonna do with him? And basically Dalton is going to hold Eugene for ransom unless Leonard helps him dig for gold at this new site. Because at this point, Leonard is still with the Ashantis.
Right.
And so.
And you're just kind of like, all right, this has already taken a turn.
and he's like, oh, and then I'll let them all go. And Gobier's like, yeah, I know he was lying.
Yeah.
About all that.
Yeah.
So
you kind of hear Gobier talking
about him going to the train station. The train's crashed. So he goes back to the Ashanti village to tell Leonard and Thelma
that Eugene died.
Yeah. And then.
In the train crash.
And then they tried to go to the crash site. But before they got there, Dalton kidnapped them.
Yeah.
Which is not actually what happened.
No, it isn't?
No, because because Dalton didn't just kidnap them. They threatened to destroy the Ashanti village.
Yeah, but I think they kind of just used that to kidnap them. Like, they're like, we will destroy the Ashanti village if you guys don't come with us.
But it's more.
No, I know what you mean.
It's more involved than just, like, kidnapping them out of their beds in the middle of the night.
But I also feel like, just for time's sake, because this is only supposed to be, like, a 25-minute episode, they're like, that's what happened. Because we did get a lot of that backstory in A Prisoner's Affair.
I know.
But yes.
Like, to me, that doesn't really seem like a kidnapping. It's like
No, that's a kidnapping.
It's like a negotiation situation.
No, that's a kidnapping. The fact that they're being held there against their will, that's a kidnapping.
Yeah, okay, fine.
So, we find out from Gobier what happened. And then Eugene kind of understands.
No, Eugene looks, yeah, he's like, that explains so much.
Yes.
Then we go to the next scene, and Eugenia's leaving Wits End in the middle of the night.
Yep. And then his father appears out of nowhere in the cover of darkness.
It kind of sounds like he jumped out of the bush.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Maybe he's learning lessons from Jay. Oh, wait, Jay's not in this. But anyway.
And so it's 11:30, and Leonard was expecting Eugene to close up at 9, but he was searching for information on the internet about Dalton Kern.
And Leonard's like, really?
Oh, so you spoke with Gobert.
It's like, okay.
And now I know why you're hiding.
Yeah.
And I think this is where... I'm trying to think. Is this where Eugene offers to have him stay at his house? Or is that in one of the later scenes?
Might be one of the later scenes. But I feel like... No, it might have been this one. I don't know, because this is the first time that Leonard and Eugene meet in secret, and then there's the next time that he meets in secret, yeah, which is quite entertaining and quite Eugene.
And Eugene, and he's like, so I have to keep meeting you under the cover of darkness, essentially is what he says in this scene. He's like, yeah, I'll decide when we can meet. And then...
Doesn't he talk to Wit next?
I think so, but I don't remember. I think they talk about Dalton.
Probably.
And how Wit's heard of him.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, because Eugene learns from Wit kind of who Dalton Kern is, and just a little bit, though, because Wit's not, like, doesn't quite know him, but knows of him.
Yeah.
And then the next scene the one at the gas station?
I think so.
It's hilarious.
We don't have to go in complete order.
Yeah, no. So then Eugene's pumping gas, and then all of a sudden Leonard appears.
No, but there's the gas station attendant.
I know. That gas station attendant was quite entertaining because he was very, very nosy. And like there's a loudspeaker there.
No, but and then he's like, pump number 4, you're ready. Let me know if you need anything. You can start by lowering your prices. What's that? Oh, nothing. Just lamenting the energy crisis.
Oh, it's such a humorous scene. And then, so Leonard appears out of nowhere, and Eugene's like, wow, a homeless man with a rental car, or with a car. And Leonard's like, it's a rental.
I think that scene before was where Eugene asked him why he came to Odyssey in the first place. Was that this scene? Either way, at some point, he's like, why did you come back? He's like, I wanted to reconcile with my father, but he died.
I think that was this scene. Because, okay, so anyway, we kind of missed the humorous part where Eugene and Leonard get into Eugene's car.
Eugene says...
As the gas is pumping, and then Eugene's like, seatbelts, and he's like, but we're not going
which,
anywhere.
That was suggested by Will Ryan.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Which is so funny.
Yeah, and he's like, but we're not going anywhere. Oh, but it's just good habit. And so then they have their conversation, and Eugene learns more about...
he came to reconcile with his father, but his father died, which is called back to Lost in a Long Line.
And Eugene's like, yes, I already knew that. Like,
and then he finds out whoever it was.
Yes.
Which Everett was his brother.
Yeah, which you're like, wait, Eugene has a brother?
Had, according to Leonard.
Had. Sorry, no spoilers. Yeah. And then, maybe this was the scene where he was like, why don't you just come live?
Or was there another scene? No, that was at the library, I think.
Oh, right.
And then,
yeah,
but Eugene's like, I'm a Christian now. At some point in this scene, and the clerk's like, hey, congratulations.
No, he had said that outside of the car, and that's why they had to get inside the car.
Yeah, which, that was really funny.
Gas station attendant was quite nosy during this scene.
So,
And then all of a sudden, Leonard just leaves, but then you hear, then you hear Eugene go, wait! And then he's like, oh, seatbelt. He has to take off his seatbelt and get
out
of the
car. Enough! These brief snippets are driving me insane!
I love how you just can quote it like that. Yeah, and so then Eugene is okay, and isn't the next scene where Eugene is talking to Katrina and Eugene is writing up a list of things to talk about with his father?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's gonna laminate it and keep it in his pocket so that he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have this really good conversation mm-hmm. where Katrina was like, yeah, if my dad were here, he would say, like, because if our family was ever in trouble, he would say, family's always worth the trouble.
And then she's like, we should change that and we should say family is worth the risk.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I love that.
And then...
So then that's doesn't
when he goes to... No,
Doesn't he talk to Wit about...
And then he leaves a note on his website.
Yes.
For Leonard. And then he goes to the library.
No, but doesn't he talk to Wit about, like, keeping him safe and, like, is there a way to do that? And
Wit has... That's...
Doesn't that happen first before he goes?
Later.
Oh, because they have the conversation at the library and then after that. Okay. So the conversation at the library...
Or maybe that's first. It doesn't really matter.
Anyway, so they're at the library, they're talking.
Well, no, Eugene goes to the library and is like, has a homeless man been in the library today? And she's no help.
No. And when then, are they ever any help?
They're helpful when and it comes then, to books.
Eugene ends up finding him in the library. And then Leonard's like, you need to take that off your website, like...
He's like, I already have, but if something's on my website, he's following me, and he's like, oh, good point, erase your website.
And, like, basically, just, like, we need to just erase any trace of us on the internet so that we can live in hiding and live in fear.
And he's like, I don't live in fear, I trust God. And he's like, that's not enough for me.
So you kind of see the difference of, oh, yeah, because then, yes, no, we are in the right order. So they have that conversation, and then, is there anything else in that conversation?
Eugene gives him pictures.
Right. Of him and Katrina.
And all of his report cards, too, which yes. I'm just like, why?
Well, you know, having an intellectual father, I can see Eugene would think that would be important to Leonard.
And then, oh yeah, a bunch of pictures. He's like, and if this is what a relationship has to be, I'll accept that.
Yeah.
Perhaps we'll see you again sometime. Goodbye. I'm like...
Oh. And then the next scene is where he's talking to Wit. And then Wit's like, well, if he wants to, we can, like... We can...
Yeah.
We can make it so that he's safe at your house. Like, we can have police go by there. We can... He can install the motion sensor thing, microphone on the phone. And, you know, typical Wit stuff. And so then...
No, I think he says that before. Because that's when... No, that's, like, way at the beginning.
Are you sure?
Well, he talks about the security cameras and alarms and stuff, Nick, and then he says, Dalton left Africa about a month ago. That's before the gas station.
Is there a conversation between Wit and Diane where he finds out that... Or is that in Top Floor?
They don't have another conversation till Top Floor.
Okay. So I'm... Okay. So... Yep.
Anywho.
And then Eugene is in the kitchen or something, and then...
No, he went to his office to check his email.
Okay, right. And so then the door, front door opens, and who walks in but...
Leonard.
And they have a conversation, don't they?
A very brief conversation.
Yep. And then Wit calls Eugene down. And then Eugene gets to talk to his father again. And Leonard was like, well, I have to ask you a question. Why is there an absent...
A tardy in...
Oh, sorry, that tardy.
That you had in the second semester of 10th grade. I'm like, was he like 5 when he was in 10th grade? Or like 8 when he was in 10th grade or something? Like,
maybe. Well.
And he's like, no, I had to go to the dentist. That was an excuse. It's like... Oh.
And here, I thought I was going to have to punish you.
Ground you is what ground he says. Okay,
well.
Which
I thought was a very sweet opening to that conversation.
And then he says Katrina's pretty.
Yeah.
Which is also really sweet.
Yeah. And so they just have, like, a more of a father-son conversation.
He's like, I trust you. And then Eugene's like, I'll do all I can to keep us safe, and I know we'll have God's help.
Yeah.
And then we get the final scene.
Dun, dun, dun.
And this is... we're supposed to assume, I think, that it's Dalton.
Yeah.
And it is.
Well, it is. Yeah. Because we're like, well, who else could it be? There's no other.
He's ominous. Talking to someone.
Yeah.
On the phone or something.
Yes.
And neither of them have found anything, but they're pretty sure Leonard left Africa, and that he's up there somewhere.
Yeah.
And the final line is, he's out there somewhere. We're not resting until we find Leonard Meltzer.
Dun, dun, dun.
So that's where that is.
That's Cover of Darkness. It's an interesting episode, and you kind of...
It's... Clearly, we don't have the chronology down.
No, but I think that's okay, because we got the gist of it. And I think, like, I like how it's... you kind of see Leonard... Like, you see what he's dealing with. He's starting to introduced to this character.
One thing that we didn't touch on that Leonard says is, I will not allow Dalton to imprison me again.
And you kind of...
And Eugene says, yeah. He still has you in prison, but I'm different now. I have faith in a God who helps me to not be afraid. And Leonard says, that's not enough for me.
Yeah, that was
the, like...
Yeah. And I mean, it just kind of goes to show you how... People without God, they're like, they are still imprisoned in fear. Well,
people who, I mean, I think you can find other ways to overcome fear. They just don't last very long.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're not certain.
And there's no hope. And I just kind of feel like Eugene's very much hopeful. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a very interesting episode, and I think it kind of, you kind of start to see Eugene and Leonard's relationship as father and son, and how, like, it's different than Eugene and Whit's relationship as pseudo-father and pseudo-son. Yeah.
Because they've lost 20 years.
Yeah.
Which...
And I also feel like the faith thing is also... I mean, we'll notice that later on in future episodes. But, like, you kind of see the difference in, like, a father-son who shared the same faith and a father-son who doesn't.
Yeah, and I also think Leonard's probably dealing with some kind of, like, PTSD or something.
Most
like,
likely. If you were held hostage in a town in a village in Africa, being forced to dig for gold
for 20 years,
and then watching your wife die and your son die, that's a little traumatic, just a little bit.
So no wonder he wants to stay away from Dalton.
Yeah,
and like then, oh, there's another portion to the conversation. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. It's funny because we keep forgetting things.
Eugene's like, I want a father. Is that not worth the risk to you? And Leonard's like, don't you dare heave that kind of guilt on me.
Yeah.
I had to, like, you don't know what your mother and I had to endure in Africa for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he says, your mother would groan in pain at night and I would lie there and listen to it. And
which is, like, so sad to, like, think about.
And, like, do you know how hard it is to watch a loved one hurting and not be able to help them?
And Eugene's like, yep. Right now.
Well, he doesn't say this.
But... I know, but I've said that. Yeah. I was like,
so,
yes.
So we get a lot of what I would say is the raw fear in there.
Yeah.
Of, like...
And, like, I think even just more background, too, because, like, you get Leonard's side of everything. You don't get, like, you get firsthand experience, like, what he went through, and, like, it's kind of a more understanding of, like, why Leonard did what he did. You know what I mean?
And why he's so reluctant to, like...
Ask for help.
And, like, spend time with Eugene.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want... And he wants to track him to Eugene.
Yeah, he does, but it's almost like he's justifying it as he wants to protect Eugene.
He wants to protect both of them.
Yeah. Okay, should we move on to our next review?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, so our next review is The Undeniable Truth.
Yes.
So this one, you kind of see
Leonard living, staying at Eugene and Katrina's house.
Yep. And how Eugene working with hand up and how his father's not too impressed with it.
Because, yeah. And which kind of feels a little bit moot because after album 51, hand up basically doesn't exist anymore.
I know.
And so this episode kind of bothers me for that reason.
Yeah.
Because Eugene spends the whole episode trying to show Leonard the value of
hand up,
and then it just disappears.
Yeah. Well, and I also feel like Leonard's very judgmental.
But Eugene also ends up basically taking the job that Leonard suggests he take in this episode.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, no, fine, but like,
What about
this?
Yeah, so the episode opens and
Eugene and Katrina just got home and they're talking about traffic.
Oh, right.
They're talking about, like, a guy getting mad at them in traffic.
Yeah, because Eugene wouldn't make a right turn at a red light.
Yeah, which.
And I'm like, no, you do need to do that, Eugene. Okay. He's like, but it's not plausible or whatever he says.
It still doesn't justify that man displaying such rude behavior toward me.
Yeah, so they're talking about that, and then Leonard, basically you find out that Leonard's literally done every chore around the house that there is to do.
And he almost finished the newspaper crossword puzzle. Which, see, that's impressive, because crossword puzzles drive me crazy.
I know. So, good job to him. Because you kind of know, because doesn't one of them say, like, well, you could go out and do something, and he's like, nope, that's not happening.
Nope, I'm not leaving. Because Eugene's like, you could leave the house whenever you want to. He's like, no, I can't.
Yeah, so you kind of, again, see the fear behind that.
Yeah, like, oh, but he's almost settled into it. Like, yeah. he's trying to work around it, but anyway. And then, like, and then Eugene's like, you could help me with my philanthropic projects. And Leonard's like, I don't think I'd be much help cleaning sewers. And Katrina's like, well, maybe if you graduate to that, we'll see how you did on the bathtub. Because he grounded their tub.
Which I'm like, wow, you have a lot of time on your hands. And you are bored. Okay. So
what is grouting?
It's like when you put the tile on something and then it's the grout is the thing in between. Yeah, so you basically put like cement or whatever.
Okay, so that's putting tile up.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Okay. Which, man, that is, wow, you must be bored. Have that done.
In one day.
Yeah. So then Eugene gives him the task of
filling out paperwork. And he's like, put my name at the bottom. I'm like, Eugene, don't you need to sign that?
Yeah, you would think so. Maybe he, like, had it already signed and then was like,
here. No, he said, put my name at the bottom.
Yeah, but maybe he already had it signed. Because sometimes you have to put your name
in print. No, he doesn't already have it signed because Leonard puts another name down there.
Oh, right.
Because we find out in the next scene that they're at Wits End.
Yeah.
And Eugene is having trouble walking and stuff because he
ran a 5K mile without any, like, he hasn't done it before.
Yeah, so.
And then you're like, oh, lovely.
So there's a bunch of joking around with that, but the important part of this scene is that Mayor Margaret Fay shows up.
Yeah, and she's like, the boxes didn't arrive to
the village. No, starts with, she's like, there was an article in the Odyssey Tattler today. Where they interviewed a local garbage man who said he found your boxes marked Christmas for the Children in the garbage. And so the Tattler is accusing you of collecting boxes and money from the community.
And throwing out the boxes.
Throwing out the boxes and keeping the money.
And then Eugene's like, do you realize that the Tattler also said that you were,
you gave birth to a 25-pound alien?
Yeah.
Or something like that. She's like, of course I am. But people are always concerned with charity fraud.
Yeah.
So basically, Eugene says, we offered boxes to people who didn't have any. Which, to that I say, doesn't everybody need to use a box that is from the organization?
Well, I think they do that to prevent stuff like this.
Yeah, but but how did people have boxes without using theirs?
Well, I think there's probably a way to get boxes from the company directly. Or he just overestimated how many people was going to give.
So, anyway, they threw away the boxes they didn't need. It's like, oh yeah, the filled packages were shipped because it was to the Ashantis.
Yes.
Which we find out in a previous scene, but we forgot to mention.
Yeah, so and then he suggests...
They were shipped almost a week ago. He's like...
You can call my contact at...
You can call Christmas for the children. She's like, okay, call my office with the number. And she leaves. And
then you find out that...
Leonard signed the paperwork Gordon Shumway
instead of Eugene.
Which is why you shouldn't have even been signing Eugene's name in the first place, because that's forgery.
Yeah.
But,
it is what it is. For the purposes of the story, though, I think it had to...
But he's like, it's addressed to the Ashantis, it will still get there, and then Eugene's like, but I have reporters asking why the packages never got to Chicago. But they do get to Africa, so I don't...
No, I think it's because Eugene should have been the one to sign his name at the bottom, because it was through him.
And maybe when Eugene called the organization, they were able to correct things to get it to the Ashantis.
No, I think it was still going to go to the Ashantis anyway.
But he said he had reporters asking why the packages never got to Chicago.
Because the packages would have been under Eugene's name. Or should have been under Eugene's name. But because they were under Gordon Shumway, when people call it and said, did the packages from Eugene Meltzner make it to Chicago, they would say no, because it was under a different name.
And then, and so Lennon's like, I have to protect you. I don't want your name out there.
And then Eugene's like, my name's already out there.
I'm like, hand up, could you lose all of its credibility? Because I can't tell reporters about you.
Yeah.
He's...
Like, you're kind of seeing the conflict here, where, Leonard's like, I need to stay hidden. And Eugene's like, yeah, but my reputation's on the line. Which, granted, fair to both parties. Like, it's fair, but it's like, you guys got to see each other. We're at each other's point of view.
But, I mean... I think Eugene's more right in this case.
Well, oh, yeah. But you also have to, give Leonard the benefit of the doubt. Like, he's still living in fear. He doesn't have the hope and faith in God. Like, he doesn't have that. So he is living in fear. So it's like, okay, I get that. But yes, I agree.
And so then we go to another scene where Eugene and Whit are talking with the mayor.
Yep.
She's like, I believe you, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stick my neck out for you. This was your own fault.
And so then they
figure out that they can use the Edu link to show live video.
Yep. Which is really fun.
And so she's like, okay, we're lighting the Christmas tree next week, which that's why I put this episode on my Christmas playlist.
Yeah.
And we're lighting the Christmas tree next week.
We can
do a live... we can do a live exclusive on Channel 10 for this, but
so then
it's only gonna be excellent if it works. Don't let me down.
Yeah.
So and then Eugene's talking to Len. No, wait. No, first Whit comes to the house in the next scene.
Oh right, because then we have that conversation.
And Eugene's not home yet.
Yeah.
And he and Leonard start talking.
Yeah.
And so Whit explains how he got into archaeology, because he was fascinated by ancient history as a boy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then Leonard says that when he was a kid, he wanted to be a cook. And so from the third grade to the eighth, his mother allowed him to make the family two or three meals a week.
Which I think is really important for any child to do, because teaching him that.
And then when he was in... eighth grade, his dad took him aside and said, you can't do this anymore. And Leonard explains that he Because Witt says he had something against cooking, and Leonard goes, no, he simply believed there were plenty of cooks and not enough people using their knowledge, their potential to enlighten the world.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's already said, like, what Eugene does should be a hobby, not a life pursuit. I think we skipped that scene.
Yeah.
But so he basically doesn't think that
what Eugene's
living up to his potential, and Witt explains that he thinks he is because he
is doing what God is calling him to do.
And that God's using him in remarkable ways, and that, and, well, actually, Leonard says, he's done nothing but spout your Christian rhetoric. And Witt says, we don't see it as rhetoric, we see it as undeniable truths.
There's the title.
and Leonard says, to that, he says, I spent a year in the jungles of Africa with people who had faith in gods that didn't really exist. And later, those same gods imprisoned them, and it all turned out to be a hoax. Is it any wonder that I don't trust your undeniable truths? And that's when Witt says, Eugene is being used by God, and it's an undeniable thing, and, like, you should take a better look at him.
Yeah.
And Leonard's like, I see more influence coming from you than God. I believe you made him into a robot. I will protect my son, Mr. Whitaker. I'm like...
Sorry, just the fact that you can quote it word for word always.
I can pretty much quote this whole scene.
Yeah, we know.
I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And that's when Eugene walks in.
So you kind of see, like, now you're starting to see where Leonard's like, I don't like this bait thing. Like, not for my son.
So basically that scene ends.
Yeah.
And
then they have a conversation with Margaret Fay.
No, that's.
Oh, no, that's after?
No, that conversation already happened.
Okay.
Because Witt comes to the house to work with Eugene on the Edulink.
Oh, right.
And then Eugene's trying to convince Leonard to come with them to see the live feed.
Right. And then, of course, Leonard's like, heck no, we're not doing that.
There'll be media there. I'm not going.
Yeah. And so then they come up with the idea of there's a third Edulink.
No, there's a second one. They only need one at the...
Well, yeah, but when I say third, I mean, like, there's one for the Ashantis, and then there's one for Eugene.
Well, no, they're using the communications transmitter somehow.
Okay, that was my thought. Sorry, we can talk about this after. As I was listening to this, I had a thought that I was like, okay, I'm so confused on this, and I didn't write it down, and I should have, but I was driving, so I couldn't. But I can bring it up at the end. Okay, we can continue. Sorry, I remembered my thought. My question. Anyway, so... they come up with the idea that there's a second Edulink that Leonard can then watch the live feed from at home, safe in the house.
Yeah, and then they go to the... he gets it for him, and then they go to the event, the town square.
Yes.
And they're setting up by the statue.
And they turn it on
and
to get ready.
And they can't see anything. But like, what? And so...
Because, never mind. Sorry, this was a little bit later in the scene.
And so
then they decide to go get the second Edulink from the
house. So Katrina goes back to get it. She and Leonard watch for a couple of seconds.
And she's able to kind of point out...
She's like, I have to take this with me. But yeah, she points out Kwame
and then he's very happy that Gobir and Aman had a kid, and like that they're all so happy. And so then Katrina takes the second Edulink and explains to Leonard what's been happening. And so then Leonard turns on the TV and gets the live report and was just like,
wait a second. He sees the statue.
Yes.
I think.
And he's like, wait a second, like...
So he calls Eugene, but he can't reach him.
So then he decides to just say, let's go. Anyway, so he ends up going. And then,
because Eugene's like stumbling around and trying to figure out, what am I gonna do? This isn't working.
So
I
then don't know Katrina shows up and at Town Square and turns it on, and it still isn't working. And she's like, I don't understand, because this worked back at the house. And then all of a sudden Leonard shows up and goes, wait, what is the statue made of? And they're like, well, why do we need to know that? It's like, because we had this problem with some of the equipment at the dig. And so then they move away from the statue, and turns out that was the problem. There was something in the statue that was causing the interference. And so then they were able to watch all the children open up the packages from Christmas for the Child and all of their things. And I just think that's such a sweet Christmas moment. Like, they all get to watch these kids open up their packages for the very first time. And I was like, oh, I love that. And then what else happens?
And then we cut, and Eugene tries to thank Leonard, but Leonard's already disappeared.
Yeah.
And then they go back, he goes back to the house,
mm-hmm.
and they have one final conversation.
Yeah.
And Eugene's like, I'm sorry you had to do that. And Leonard says, well, it was an emergency.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you think that was an emergency? You've been so critical of my organization since I told you about it. And Leonard says, well, I can't argue with, you know, the smiles and the people you're helping and mm-hmm. stuff. So he's like, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And then the episode ends with Eugene saying, I've wanted to hear that for a long time.
And you're just like, aww. Yeah.
But yeah, that just kind of makes what happens later, or more accurately, what doesn't happen later, kind of annoying.
Anyway. She has lots of thoughts on that, but
what was your scene?
So this was my question. When they created the communications transmitter, it was in the field, correct? Outside of the village?
Yeah.
So how would people know if they were calling them? How would the Ashantis know someone was calling them? This is what I never understood. How would you get a hold of them to make sure you wanted to talk to the right person? Do they have someone standing there just in case? Like, does it ring?
Maybe they had a wireless thing that, like a pager kind of deal.
Because I was so confused about that, because I was listening to it and I was like, how the heck does Gobier know that, like, they're calling them? Because, like, that's their only way of communicating with them. And,
yeah,
how do they know that Eugene's calling for them? Or do they...
How do they connect to the Edgelink to the transmitter?
I mean, that's kind of understandable, because I feel like it's already... If you've listened
to... But is it just audio or video?
It's probably... Well, the Edgelink can do both, remember? But the Impossible, whatever it's called.
It's just called the Impossible.
Okay. yeah, so the Impossible... Like, if you listen to the Impossible, you kind of learn more about the Edgelink. And... but it's like it can be both audio and video, because they use it in India, in rural cities in India. But maybe they just use audio for this, but then
they need the video feed.
This is why I'm so confused. Yeah. How do they know when someone's calling them? And, like, does it ring and everyone's just trained to listen for the ring? Or, like, do they set up, like, a time that they can talk to everyone? Or, like, this is what I was so confused about. Because when they were talking to Gobier, I was like, how did they get a hold of him? Did it just ring?
I don't know.
That was the question I had.
I don't know.
I feel like that was for, like, I don't know.
I don't know.
One of the other episodes.
But yeah, this is an okay episode. I just wish it wasn't retcon later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this episode. I think it's a very sweet episode, because then you kind of see Leonard living with Eugene and Katrina, but then you also see their relationship kind of change into more of a, like... You see their father-son relationship, like, kind of blossom a little bit.
Leonard's trying to speak into Eugene's life, but he has different views at first on how Eugene should be living his life. That's why it just bothers me when Eugene basically... forgets all this stuff and does basically what Leonard wanted in Album 51 onwards.
Oh, yeah, because I don't think we mentioned it. Did we? where there's like in one of the scenes Leonard brings up the job offer at the college
in the computer science department,
and Gene's like, yeah, I looked at that, like they had asked me, and Leonard's like, well, what did you say? And he said, well, no,
I wasn't interested. And then he goes to work in the college after they soft reboot the show in album 51.
Yeah.
And I'm kind
of... But maybe that was, like, a nod to his father, where he's like, you know what, I'll do this.
Maybe, but hand up disappears.
I know.
And after... If this episode hadn't happened, that wouldn't bother me so much. But because this episode happened, that really bothers me.
Yeah.
But, whatever.
But yeah, I think it's a good episode. I like the little Christmas element into it.
I think it came out in December.
Probably. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. So I think overall it's a good episode. It's a good way to kind of see more of Leonard and Eugene's relationship, and it's kind of a good stepping stone for our next episodes we'll be reviewing. So stay tuned for that.
Yep.
Any other thoughts on this one?
No.
All right. Sounds good. Stay tuned for next week's episode, where we'll be reviewing The Top Floor Parts 1, 2, and 3.
If you have any trivia questions you would like to send to us, you can email them to Northern Odysseans,
ODYSSIANS,
@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us on the northern side of the radio. I'm Amy.
I'm Emily.
Keep listening.